As a young man, Lee Thomas had a smooth brown complexion. Today, almost 40% of his body has turned a creamy off-white. Lee has vitiligo. That's a disease that erases pigment from the skin. To make matters even more challenging, he is a broadcast journalist whose job it is to be in front of the camera. He's written about his struggles with his condition in the book Turning White, A Memoir of Change. And Lee Thomas is with us now. Hi.
Hi, Farai. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Well, very glad that you are opening up about this. What is it like? First of all, where did this start for you? When did you first recognize that there was something going on?
Yeah, I was sitting in the barber chair in a job, Louisville, Kentucky, and I thought he had nicked my hair. I was getting a DC fade, and we were having a discussion about it, and he pulls out both mirrors and says, "No, there's a white spot on the back of your scalp." And it was true. I called my mother and one of my best friends, and they said it was a stress mark and that it would go away. And unfortunately, they were wrong. It did fade, but two more came up, and one came up on my hand. About a year and a half later, I knew it was a problem when I got one in the corner of my mouth, which freaked me out because I, was on television in New York at the time. And that's when the ball really started rolling, when it was diagnosed as vitiligo. And that's when I really, really kind of freaked on it.
What year was it that you first noticed this?
I first noticed in 93, diagnosed in 94. Diagnosed in 94.
When you got diagnosed, what was your reaction? Was it like, oh, at least I know, or oh my gosh, I can't believe this?
I don't know. I think when you're dying, I know what my reaction was. I was completely devastated. I was thinking, you go through the woes and the whys and all these things you want to, the things that you go through when you have something that you may appear devastating to you. So I was done. I mean, I was out of it. I was, I didn't even hear what else the doctor had to say once he said there was no cure, but we have treatments. I kind of focused in on the there was no cure part, and it just rang around in my head for a while. And I was actually kind of dizzy. You know how you lose your breath? So I had to walk back to work in New York, 67th and Columbus is around where ABC was, where I worked. And I walked to the park and just sat there and tried to, gather myself before I went back to work, because it really, to me, he was like popping the bubble of this dream existence that I had. So it was emotionally devastating when I got the news.
Your book actually is quite funny. In addition to everything else, you have a lot of sense of humor about this. And one of the lines in the book is, "Spotted black man equals unemployment." What's gone on with your career?
I couldn't have been more wrong. I'm happy to say that. And it's one thing where I realized that what I projected is what people gave back to me. And I have such a positive, happy attitude about just having life in general. And I was fighting to maintain that. And that's basically what the book's about. But right now, I am an entertainment reporter and anchor here in Detroit on the Fox affiliate. Our morning show is number one, and I do very well. I fly all over the country, or the world for that matter, covering entertainment events, and I bring the news back home to Detroit. I mean, this is actually my dream job. I'm happier, really, than I've ever been in life right now, even though, I may look like I'm turning white.
You have some portraits in the book of yourself, mm-hmm. in different poses. Some are close-ups of your face. Some of them are you, just sort of showing off your arms and your legs. What made it mm-hmm. important for you to have those portraits in the book in addition to having the text of your story?
The reason I told my story in public anyway is because a young man asked me to. He said, if you tell the story and people get the information, then maybe they will treat me differently. So once I decided to do that, and it was an easy decision, when he asked me, I said, yes, no problem. I've told it on television. I've written the book and told my story. And the reason for those pictures, and I thought those pictures were very important, not only does it show everything that I look like, it shows the progression as the disease progresses and over a period of about 4 years. But those pictures are very important because it's okay to look. I want people to understand that it's okay to look. It's okay to ask me what's going on. And because as people who are in the communications business, as you well know, we're here to enhance people's lives. That's what I thought this business is for me. That's what I made this business for me. So for me to be able to tell a story that actually helps people is something really easy for me to do. So to be able to show the pictures for people who don't really speak for themselves, it's my job to talk. And I'm happy to do that for a section of the population that really lives in silence. I've met people who haven't been out of their house in months from my book and from telling my story. And it amazes me that how many people shut themselves away from life because of something they think might stop them from living. But on the onset, you think that, but when you really reach out to the public, you'll realize that it doesn't stop you. I mean, so that's why the pictures are there. I know that was a longer answer, but that's why the pictures are there, to make it okay for people to look at me. And when they see someone who looks like me, maybe they'll have a more compassionate heart towards them.
Now, you, in your decision to just keep on trucking with your career, wear mm-hmm. makeup on the air that turns you back into a uniform brown color. Mm-hmm. That's with about 40, from what I understand, about 40% of your body being depigmented. But what right. if it's 70% or 80% down the road? Would you then say, well, you know what? I'm just going to even out my skin in a pale color. Would you ever yeah. make that decision?
You know, I always try to cross the bridge when it comes, and I would, you know, I would think about that and make that decision. You know, that's what Michael Jackson does. It's a treat. I can't say definitely. I haven't spoken to Michael, but I know that if you get the disease in over 80% of your body, the treatment is to bleach out the rest of your skin. The only problem with that is you still get spots of pigment back. So once you start bleaching, you always have to bleach. So that's one thing I would definitely consider. I mean, everything is on the table. I'm, you know, not going to stop living because I have this disease. Life is the gift. And so I'm fighting for it every day. So yeah, I cross that bridge when it comes. And if, you know, I'm the all-white black man one day, then so be it. I'll still be reading the entertainment news and living my life and loving my family regardless. So, yeah, I cross that bridge when it comes, and it just be another decision in the long lines of decisions I've been forced to make because of this disease.
There are so many people. I mean, you go to almost any community, you see people with vitiligo. Mm-hmm. What do you hope your story does? I mean, you've said you want to help people go on and live their lives. Mm-hmm. What do you hope for the general understanding of this condition?
You know, when people think of actually what I have and they see the pictures from the book, or it really is one of those things that captures people's attention. So for anyone, to me, my story is just an example of going against what traditional thought might be. And if you have something that you think might stop you from achieving whatever your dream may be or living your best life, then I hope my story can be an example of, no matter what obstacle is in your way, there is a way around it or over it or through it. And through that, there are people that put their hand out and help you get over or around that obstacle. I think my story, or I'd like for my story to be an example for people to live their best life no matter what, because I seriously thought my career was done. I mean, I was working in New York, and I seriously thought it was done.
Well, Lee,
but as I worked through my mind, it was not. So,
Lee, I want to thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Lee Thomas is a broadcast journalist working in Detroit, and his book is Turning White, a Memoir of Change. He talked with us from member station WDET in Detroit.